Well, good morning, everyone. It is 10 a.m. on May 17th, 2022, and time to convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Toni Olson, Board President. In accordance with the Governance Proclamation 2028-15, we are holding meetings remotely. I have with me this morning Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, Vice President, Commissioner Sid Logan, Secretary, John Harlow, CEO, General Manager, Ann Spangler, General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not presenting. This session is for the board and CEO General Manager to study and discuss issues among ourselves and with the PUD staff. If there is a request for public comment and time remains, 15 minutes will be allowed at the end of our briefing session. I will now turn it all over to John Harlow for our briefing session. And John, please don't forget community engagement.
Yes.
I feel equally responsible.
No. That was 100% on me. Thank you so much for the reminder. And because of that, we will actually start today's meeting with our community engagement update.
Good to go.
Laura Zorick. Good morning, Laura.
Morning. Thank you so much for having me. I get to pass along a really cool story from our Linwood office. Keith Ellison and a number of staff from the Linwood office supported an event. It was a touch a truck and they just had such a fun time. The biggest hit, he said, was putting rocks into a grunt sack and then running them up a hand line to the top of the truck. They just loved pulling on the ropes, it sounded like. They had a picture that we put into district.
Olson, can I just interrupt for one moment? I apologize. It appears that we're having problems with our public link. So if you could just take a quick recess, I'd like to get that fixed before we continue.
All right. It is 10:02 a.m. and we will take a 5-minute recess.
Thank you.
Great. All right. We are back in session and we're moving ahead. And Laura, our apologies, but please proceed with your presentation.
No worries. I wish that Keith was here. They just had such wonderful feedback. It was a unique school that we also visited. So it was Journey School in Linwood that serves children that are 12 months to 13 years old, just about. So definitely not our high schooler students that we would traditionally go and see. Keith did mention that they loved the trucks, but we were not. He loved that they were very honest and they said we were not as cool as the fire trucks, which is fine, but they still had so much fun. And it's just been really nice to see that our community offices and the staff are excited to get engaged. And essentially with that, I would love to pass it off to Casey Houser, who has been doing a little bit of community engagement in Monroe as well on behalf of our Monroe office.
Wonderful. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning. My name is Casey Houser. I'm the manager for the Monroe and Snohomish offices. And I've participated in a couple things out east. I started this role in April, so my first opportunity was the commerce meetings that they out in Monroe had monthly. And so I've attended a couple of those, getting to know the neighbors around us and the community members that participate in those. So that's been a lot of fun. And in the fall, me and my family as representatives of PUD dressed up as squirrels and sloths, and we handed out candy to thousands of children at the trunk or treat. And we're going to do it again this year. It was so much fun. I'm actually really excited because we picked squirrels as our mascot.
So I'm just
waiting for the names to put on a name tag and do that next year. Some other things we've participated in that are coming up is the Evergreen State Fairgrounds has asked us to assist them in replacing their spar poles. for the state fair in August. So we'll be doing that here in just a few short weeks. We're going to remove the poles and then install the new ones using our equipment and everything as a partnership with them. And then lastly, in June, myself, Laura, and Aaron Janisco will be speaking at the East County State of the Utility for the Commerce meeting. So we'll be doing that on June 14th. So it's been really exciting and it's been a great opportunity.
Thank you, Cassie. I probably am showing my, what are spar poles?
Oh, they're the poles that the lumberjacks climb. I had to ask myself also when I got the email, I was like, what is a spar pole? So that's what it is. It's what the lumberjacks climb. So they have to be a certain diameter and untreated. So they are getting the poles. And they're like 100 feet tall and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I've watched that demonstration. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Casey, that really is fantastic. Really appreciate your engagement and your leadership out in that area. And just overall, that's fantastic. It really is.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Laura, is one of us going to have to wear a squirrel costume at the fair this year?
Oh, I mean, I'd love for you to do that. I know you, it was wonderful to get to work with you last year. So if we have, you know, the art and names, I think we're getting to the end of where, you know, the names have been voted on at this point, but artwork is still being worked out. Costumes are being considered. So definitely would love to incorporate them in upcoming events. And perhaps, yes, if you are willing to wear the costume, you may be enlisted for that.
Well, this Commissioner Olson, I will defer the opportunity to you and Commissioner Wolf, because I had to wear Louis the Lightning Bug for about 10 years. And I don't know if any of you even ever saw it, but Louis was really hot.
I bet.
Anyway, great ideas, Commissioner Logan. I look forward to see you and you and Commissioner Wolf.
I could rock a squirrel costume.
Oh boy.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Casey. We have next on the agenda for any questions or comments is the government. Or the legislative update that was in your packet. We have Kim Johnston, Brenda White, and potentially Quentin Harrington here to answer any questions that you may have.
I have no questions.
I have an addition to something that I don't believe it was included, because actually it was just a little bit prior to our last meeting, but on Earth Day, April 22nd, an executive order was promulgated, I don't know what the word is, but it was issued on strengthening the nation's forest communities and local economies. This came from the President of the United States. And I just wanted to read section one. This is it's 8 pages long, and it's signed by President Biden, and it said, under section one policy, strengthening America's forests, which are home to cherished expanses of mature and old growth forests on federal lands, is critical to the health, prosperity, and resilience of our communities, particularly in light of the threat of catastrophic wildfires. And it goes on and on. There are lots of subpoints and saying by 30 days, this will happen. And by, you know, it's very interesting. If anybody would like a copy, I could send you the link to it. So
I'm happy. Thank you for pointing that out, Commissioner Wolf. I'm happy to include that in the interesting read section in our next report to make sure that everybody has a chance to read it in full.
It's really a wonderful EO.
Thank you, Commissioner Wolf and Kim. That will be great if you can include that.
Yeah, thanks, Kim.
Any other questions, thoughts, comments on the legislative section?
This Commissioner Olson, no, I don't have any.
I have no other comments.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Next up is our Verizon Wireless Master License Agreement, and Mo Matthews will present. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, one of your favorite topics, huh?
Well, this one actually is should go pretty
it's
quick.
A success.
This one's
Good.
Pretty seamless. But again, Mo Matthews, manager of joint use and permits. And the last time this was presented, the Verizon Wireless Master License Agreement was in 1997. So this was a 25-year agreement.
Wow.
And I just need to forward it. There we go. So as I mentioned, this agreement's been in place for 25 years. Currently, Verizon Wireless has 11 active sites on various district poles and or properties. And the MLA expires this June. We've been working with Verizon Wireless representatives on a proposed MLA subject to commission approval. And that would be possibly June 7th. The projected annual revenue is for this year is $229,000. And I just would like to mention that this agreement is only for 5 years, so which may seem a little odd. We've been working since 2010 to have all of our master license agreements expire in 2027. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing, it's been a long haul. We're almost there, but we needed every agreement to be identical. And 2027 is the year to have everyone be under the same agreement.
Commissioners, do we have any questions?
Has Verizon been under the same management or the same corporate governance for the whole 25 years?
They were originally something else when it was signed, but they've been Verizon Wireless for as long as I've been in joint use, which is 18 years.
So what it does for us, it provides wireless connectivity throughout the district, is that right?
Well, they provide the macro antennas for all of cell phones, data. It's how everyone lives their lives these days with cellular access. And Verizon has 11 sites, like I mentioned, on district poles or property. Does that answer your question, Commissioner Wolf?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how it fits with, I mean, I'm not a Verizon customer personally, but that just means that we are dealing with them so that all the other people who want to sign up for Verizon can have that, right?
Yeah, so they have an antenna access. We have these same agreements for T-Mobile, AT&T, T-Mobile acquired Sprint and Clearwire last mm-hmm. year. So Snohomish County is pretty well covered in the majority of the areas. Some of the outlying areas, it's difficult, yeah. But that's another issue.
Ziply used to be Frontier, didn't it?
Yes, but they are not a macro antenna company. They are only a fiber company, and they have wireline attachments, which are okay. Further down on the pole.
Thank you. Commissioner Logan, I see your hand is raised.
Is it?
Well, it looks like a hand to me.
Maybe it was his cat.
It might have been. I don't have any questions. If I've raised my hand, I don't know how to lower it.
Can you please get rid of that hand that's stapled to your forehead? Okay, now it went away. Commissioner Wolf, did I interrupt you? I'm sorry.
No, I was just trying to understand how all the wireless attachments and all of that, what they do for, it's just income for us by giving them space, basically.
And Mo, you correct me if I'm wrong, but we are obligated to provide them space on our poles. And they have chosen 11 sites where they want to place their equipment. And the agreement determines kind of location, all the standards, and then the pricing structure for that.
That's okay, correct.
That was the issue that the APPA opposed, but lost. We wanted our communities to be free to decide for themselves. Is that right? If I recall, APPA was opposed to the requirement that we must put these on our polls. Is that right?
I'm not familiar with that.
No, and maybe Kim, if she has
I may be confusing it with another telecommunications, but it had to do with polls and the absolute requirement by the law. And a lot of communities were saying, no, we want to decide. And I thought that APPA was also concerned about the requirement but maybe Ann has the answer.
Yeah, I see council is on. Yes, Ann.
Right. So I think what you're referring to was an order by the Federal Communications Commission.
Yes.
That's superseding right. Some of local governments' siting authority.
Right.
And setting a cap on pricing that right. local utilities could set for pole attachments.
Okay.
And so APPA did initiate litigation, as did a number of other local governments. And we actually participated in one of those ourselves.
That was my mixed up memory. Okay.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any other questions of Mo this morning, commissioners?
I have none. Thank you, Mo.
Thanks a lot.
I have none.
I think that's great to have that same expiration tape time across.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's a good idea.
We're super excited.
Simplify, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Mo. Great job. Not just on the presentation, but getting this across the finish line. I know it's been a lot of work and a heavy lift for your entire team and lots of folks. So next up is Don Pressler to present an update on the Salton River floodplain activation project. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today. And I have the pleasure to introduce this topic. I presented on this project back in 2020 when we went in for the original grant application with the Recreation Conservation Office. And so today I am back to give you an update on where we are with that grant, and then also how it bleeds into the next grant application that we'd like to do. And so today there's no action requested of you, but we will be back on June 7th with a request of the commission to approve submitting the grant application. This is a kind of a unique requirement for this particular grant with the Recreation Conservation Office, where they do want the Board of Commissioners to acknowledge or approve the submitting of a grant application. So I will be back June 7th with that resolution. To give you a little bit of reminder of what this project is about, the PUD has a long history of environmental stewardship on the Salton River. And more specifically, in the last decade, when we were issued our license in 2011, we had an obligation to create some additional side channels in that lower river section. So in 2012, we developed about 2 miles of side channel habitat through excavation and restoration and enhancement of side channels, including introduction of engineered log jams and large woody debris and boulder clusters, and also some vegetation management, weed control, and then replanting of native plants along that riparian corridor. And it worked out really well. We saw great results from that. And in 2019, the Jackson Project's Aquatic Resource Committee did an investigation of what else could we do on that lower Salton River to improve habitat. And they identified a suite of projects for consideration. And one of them was what we applied for the 2020 grant with the RCO. And that was to expand the side channel network to provide some additional refugia under high flows for the salmonids that use that river, and then also rearing habitat for the ESA, Chinook salmon, steelhead trout, and whatnot. So we received a $200,000 grant, no match requirement, back in 2020 to look at this potential project. And that included doing some studies to identify the hydraulic conditions, cultural resources that may exist in that area, and also wetlands. And using that data, we were able to develop some preliminary designs and contract specifications for expanding the side channel network. And then also with those preliminary designs, we were able to start the preliminary permitting stages and consultation with agencies to get some initial feedback on the project.
Excuse me, Dawn, before you leave that slide, please. As far as the cultural resource study, are you thinking about like maybe middens that were created by the native people, the tribes in the area?
Maybe right. So the cultural resources took into account archaeological artifacts that may be there, historic properties that may be there, consultation with tribes. So the whole suite of cultural resources.
And do you know if they've ever found any freshwater mussels in that area? They're kind of rare, but there used to be a lot of them on our streams.
I don't recall through the licensing process that there were any freshwater mussels found in the Sultan.
Well, I have walked the trail with Keith Binkley and others up to see the work on the side channels. And I think this is such a marvelous project. I really love it.
Yeah, we're really proud of it and excited that there's opportunity to continue expanding that side channel in that floodplain area. And so this work in particular is trying to do just that.
So we have coho and steelhead and what other species we have up there? Do we have any bull trout?
We have Chinook, coho, pink, chum, and then steelhead trout are the anadromous fish that access this area.
Great. Thank you.
And to just orientate us where we're talking, again, it's in that lower Sultan River between River Mile 0.5 and 1.3. So really focusing on that lower space right before the salmon are reintroduced into the Skykomish as they're making their way back to Puget Sound. Here is a drawing from our 2020 side channel project. And on here, you can see some of the side channel work that was done, back in 2012. And specifically with side channel one, which is on that lower section on the east side of the river, is side channel one. And the red sock shaped drawing is where we're focused on extending that new side channel project off of side channel one. Here are the preliminary 60% drawings for that side channel, and it indicates, you know, where the wetlands are and adjustments around the wetlands, so we're not impacting those, along with some typicals for wood placement. Here are some photos of the existing conditions out there. So that upper left-hand corner is a picture of the side channel one and where the new inlet would be for that new extension. On the right upper side is existing condition again, and you can see that there's this a bit of a divot in there of where a historic side channel used to be. And that area still does get some water flowing into it under very high flows, but mostly it's dry year round. And then the bottom pictures are where the side channel will go. As you can see, it's been filled in with ag pasture lands, and we'll be cutting a channel through there to reintroduce side channel. And then it would reconnect back into side channel one before it goes back into Sultan River. And here's a picture from 2012 of the side channel project work that we did. And it's very similar to what we'd like to see with this new side channel extension. So you could see, you know, there's water throughout the channel and some large wood placement along there. Also weed management and then riparian planting. So hopefully that'll grow over the years and provide some additional riparian cover to protect it from the sun, so it doesn't get too hot for the fish that use it. Good. So what we're proposing, that was all the design work, and now we want to move it to final permitting and design phases and contract specifications, and then from that move it into the construction phase. So overall, the elements are, we'd like to create about a 1900 foot extension of a side channel, increase the water that would flow into that, put placement of woody debris and boulders in there to create some diversity and roughness in that channel. And then again, with the riparian plantings to provide some native riparian cover for that. The total project cost is about $765,000, of which we are required to do a 20% or a match for this application. Originally with preliminary design, you're not required to do a match if it's under $200,000, but anything over, you are required to do a match. So we did get approval from the Jackson Projects Aquatic Resource Committee for that match. And then the remaining balance would be through the RCO grants, so about $612,000. Again, we'll be coming back next month with that resolution requesting approval to submit the application. And with that, that's my presentation. And I'm open to more questions if you have any. Otherwise, I appreciate your support.
You know, no question, just a comment. Our work on the Salton is just phenomenal. And so it's exciting to see us do more. And I appreciate that we go out there and get the word out on this, and really appreciate all that you do, Dawn, and the rest of the crew. It's really, it's just such an exciting story.
You think we'll have a salmon festival in Salton this year?
I'm hopeful. I know it's very well attended when they do have it, and our groups always loves to participate in that and provide tours of the Salton River Channel. So my fingers are crossed that they will.
I hope so.
Yeah, excellent, Dawn. And again, a huge kudos to you and the entire team for moving this project forward. It is a great story.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn.
So that is it for presentations this morning, Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, John. It looks like that we will have time for public comment. A reminder that we ask that comments be limited to 5 minutes. And you can join us by raise hand or by dialing 9 on your phone. And Allison, do we have any public that would like to make a comment this morning?
I do not currently see any hands raised.
All right, thank you. Well, hearing that we have no comment this morning, it is now 10:37 a.m. and the meeting is being recessed, and the regular meeting will reconvene virtually at 1:30 p.m. Thank you all.